This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Believe it or not, we are episode 198. That 100 is coming at us quick. What's 200 in Cockney rhyming slang? Is it, what's a double ton? That's what I want to know.
Don't know.
We're getting closer.
A lot of fun, double ton. I made that up, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So listen in, 200th episode.
Yeah, I love that. There you go. See?
A lot of Molly, fun. Double
ten. That was fun. Double ten.
199 could be fine.
Yeah.
Could be fine. Might not be. May not be.
198. Bit of a fright.
That doesn't even rhyme.
No.
198, bit of a state. In a state. I don't know. I'm not sure.
198. Jamie Vardy's fueled by hate.
There you go. New system for you. Yeah. ATR rhyming slang. Order your ATR rhyming slang Christmas book in all good bookstores now and some not good bookstores.
Some proper dodgy ones, to be fair.
Yeah.
Blue Allen.
Some real shady bookstores. Yeah. Those ones with the flashing neon signs in Amsterdam.
Yeah, Blue Allen behind the Esso garage in Hemel Hempstead. That's a proper dodgy one, but we're in there.
We're in there, and why wouldn't we be?
Why wouldn't we be?
We don't look a gift horse in the mouth, is what they say.
No, Blue Allen rang, Blue Allen received. He wanted some. We gave it to him. I've just had a conversation in real life now, not podcast life, in real life with someone regarding Newcastle, and an interesting point was raised. Sort of absent-minded, he's not even a Newcastle fan, he just said to me, oh, do you know what's interesting? He was like, Newcastle should sign Aaron Ramsey. And I was like, well, yeah, from a footballing perspective, from Newcastle's perspective, that would be fine. That's a great signing. But why the hell would Darren Ramsey want to join Newcastle United? And I was like, and he was like, yeah, but they got money now. I'm like, yeah, but he's going to be in a relegation fight. If you were our agent and said, listen, Newcastle are interested in you. The club will listen, but they're waiting to see if you're interested before making a move.
Yeah.
He said, what would you do? And I was like, well, what I would do is say, okay, fine, but I don't want to lose any, I don't want to have any less money than I'm on at Juve. And I want a clause in my contract that my contract's null and void if we get relegated. would you join Newcastle if you were Aaron Ramsey?
A problem Newcastle have got, right, is it's all well and good having this money, but they're absolutely in a dogfight at the moment. Yeah. And they're going to need, it's not going to be one player that solves it for them. They need at least, I think, four players, really. So yeah. If you're a player like Aaron Ramsey, for example, who is offered the opportunity to join Newcastle, I think you want assurances, or I would, that you've got, that you're one of like at least three signings that are coming in to bolster that squad as part of the revolution. So, you know, you could be the first marquee one which is announced, but I think you and your agent, whatever, will want to know that they've got lined up two others that they're working on at the same time
and who they are.
That are pretty much done. And if you then suddenly it becomes a slightly different proposition and you're part of something. Because if you suddenly then join Newcastle and they don't get any other deals over the likes, remember, January is a tough time to do business anyway. And people are going to know they've got money. So they're going to have them over the coals, Newcastle. They're going to try and squeeze them for every penny that they can get out of them for deals. So if you're trying to get those deals done, January, and you suddenly don't, and you're a player who's joined Newcastle thinking that you're going to be part of this revolution, and suddenly you're in that squad with all due respect, who are struggling. It's a fact. They need reinforcements, and you then go down. Unless you've got that type of clause that you mentioned in, then you've wasted 6 months of your career, and you look a bit like an idiot, to be honest.
Yeah, I just don't see the appeal. I reckon unless you are a certain level of player, I just have no idea what you gained from joining Newcastle. I know you did a load of money, but apart from that, like, you can earn decent money elsewhere at a good level. You know, like Aaron Ramsey could play at a Villa, at an Everton. You know, he'd suit Everton. They need someone like Aaron Ramsey at Everton. That level of club, I personally would like to see him go maybe to Spain, to be honest. Or Germany. He'd be good in the Bundesliga. You know, he's too good to be playing in Newcastle, for fuck's sake. I can believe it. I was like, well, he's too good for that shit. But it makes you... What would you do if you were Newcastle? If you were in charge, if you were Eddie Howe, and they were like, right, come on, who are your targets? Who would you target for your Newcastle manager?
I think they need defensive reinforcements first and foremost, because they have got the ability to. I could see when they drew 3-3 with Brentford, they've got some attacking flair players. Like, obviously Saint-Maximin is, the one which everyone enjoys to watch, and he's fantastic on his day. Yeah. Almiron, I quite rate Almiron. I think he's quite a useful player, you know. He sort of flitters in and out of the side sometimes, and I think he sometimes benefits from just being a good option off the bench. Like, he's quite a good impact player. Wilson obviously is proven in the Premier League, so I think, like, as an attacking force, I don't think they're too bad, but I just think defensively, like, some of the goals they let in, just the marking is just atrocious. I just think they definitely need defence and midfield. I don't think they need... I mean, attack, obviously, you know, you have an attacking player, a striker that comes available, who's a good option. Yeah, fantastic. Joe Linton still plays a lot. And, like, he sometimes he works hard for the team, but he was brought in to score goals. So you do want someone... If Wilson, because he is liable to get injuries, you do want that other option up top. But I think that's probably the last position that they really need to focus on. I think they need some reinforcements at the back. I think they need, you know, the way the game is now, I think they, you know, with Wilson in the box, I think if they can get more crosses into the box to him, but defensively, if you can get, like, a, you know, full backs that bomb on, which is the modern thing these days, and just, yeah, that middle centre back pairing, I think they just look weak, and I think they need some reinforcements defensively, really, for me.
Do you know who I think they go for?
Go on.
There's a few specific players that I would try and make a sign if I was in charge at Newcastle and could make these decisions. Everyone should be thankful that I'm not. I would go to Man United and I would try and work out a double deal for one, signing Dean Henderson permanently, and two, a 6-month loan deal with an option to buy if they stay up on Donny van der Beek.
Yeah.
They're two that I would make straight away. I think they fit the bill in every possible way. Really?
100%. If you've got those two players coming in, that's a big improvement. on what yeah, they've got, I think.
I think it's a huge improvement in both positions. Someone else that potentially you could look at just to improve a little bit more going forward, if you're going to play Donny van de Beek as a sort of playmaker role in the middle, if you want to have a little bit different option up front, I wouldn't be averse to going after Divock Origi.
Well, Divock, do you know what? He's the sort of player I could totally see at Newcastle as well.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine some players and you go, oh, yeah, they fit. They, you know, they what? How have they not been at that club before? I mean, like, I could totally see Divock Origi at Newcastle. But I just think...
I think it works. I know.
But I don't... Obviously, I don't know... We don't know the lad at ATR. We don't know Divock Origi. He's not a friend of the show. We've got lots of friends of the show, but he is absolutely not a friend of the show.
No.
But...
enemy, if anything.
I just get the sense he's kind of... Like, he likes his role at Liverpool. I think he quite likes it. Do you know there's some players that you just... They're ideal for some of these big teams because, you know, you always need those players who they're never going to be first choice, but they're happy to sort of come in and make an impact when you need them. And Divock Origi, like, he's happy to do that role. And obviously he does get some big goals for Liverpool in big games. So again, I think he totally fit Newcastle and he could probably do a good job, but I don't even, unless it might, obviously money talks, but in terms of a role, I don't know if he'd do it.
It would be interesting. Do you know who else I would do? So this is Luke's plan to reshape Newcastle.
Go on. Dean
Henderson in goal.
Go on.
So Dean Henderson in goal. Donny van de Beek, 6-month loan option to buy in the middle with Willock. I think that's a decent pairing.
Do you think Van de Beek would go?
I don't think any single footballer in the world with any sense, any common sense at all goes anywhere near that bloody club. I don't care how much money they've got.
It's a very hypothetical situation with Hudson,
this is literally if every single footballer that you approach happens to have brain damage. This is the situation we're in. Because you'd need to be at least 25% brain damage to want to play for Newcastle United.
Oh, we're going to get... Newcastle fans are going to love this episode, aren't they?
Fuck them. It's nothing against the fans, but it's literally just, why would you want to go near that club? Until the club's stabilised, don't go near it. But if they do, what I would suggest, I would say Dean Henderson would improve them. If you can't go Dean Henderson, I would give Arsenal a ring and say, how much do you want for Bernd Leno?
True.
They're the two. So Dean Henderson and Bernd Leno. Then, depending on which goalkeeper, it depends on which deal. Because if you buy Dean, if you manage to get work out a deal for Dean Henderson while you're on the phone to United, you know, two birds, one stone. While we're here, can we have Donny van de Beek on a 6-month loan?
It could be like that Ferguson phone call to Leeds all those years ago when they were like, what about Eric Cantona?
Can we buy David Hurst? No. Oh, David Hurst got injured. We were going to buy David Hurst and he got injured playing for Sheffield Wednesday, I believe.
I wonder if they'll ever do like sliding doors too, couldn't they? And it could be where if United signed David Hurst instead of
Eric Cantona.
And to be honest, I always a big fan of David Hurst. I thought he was a great
striker. A decent player. You want Eric Cantona? It just Eric Cantona needed to play for Man United. That was all.
All right, let's not go there.
Right. So anyway, we've got Donny van de Beek on a 6-month loan. If Dean Henderson hasn't worked out and I've bought Bernd Leno, while I'm on the phone to Arsenal, I say, listen, two birds, one stone, while I'm here. How much do you want for Rob Holding or Callum Chambers, either one?
Oh, Rob Holding, it's such a Newcastle signing.
Rob Holding. Yeah, mate, I'm telling you, I speak Newcastle's language.
And Chambers. But are these really the players they need?
It's the level of player that they can get right now. They are in a relegation fight. Who do they think they're going to go out and buy? Fucking Kylian Mbappe? It's not going to happen. No way, way. It's not going to happen.
I was with you on Henderson and Leno and Van der Beek. I'm with you all the way. But I don't know. Holding and Chambers now. You're starting to...
Make Rob Holding or Kieran Clark.
Well, I see what you mean, but
there's your option.
It's not, yeah. Well, but you know, the toaster could be better fight than Kieran Clark. My toaster, you can sign my toaster for far less.
Do you know who else I think might be a decent attempt at signing? I don't think they'd be able to get him in any way, shape, or form. But if I was in charge of it, I would do everything possible to try and sign Nico Williams. Or Neco Williams.
Oh, no. He would be... Now, he is... For Wales, I think Neco Williams has been our best player the last two or three games.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah, mate, he's class.
Liverpool are just... They're so good. And he's been playing out of position for Wales. He's been playing left back when he's naturally a right back. And he's been smashing it on the left back. Right. And Liverpool have just got...
Yeah.
They've got so many options, obviously. Like, they've got such quality in the fullback position, but flipping hell. Yeah, it depends how long he wants to wait to try and break in, because he's not gonna get in ahead of Trent Alexander-Arnold's first, you know, his first choice.
No, God, no. Nowhere near.
And you've got Tsimikas now on the left, because he can play the left, obviously, as he's shown for Wales, but...
Do you know who I think? Right, this is my Newcastle plan. Rate this plan out of 10, okay?
All right, go on.
I've got two options for each position. I think they need to sign a goalkeeper, a centre-back, a central midfielder, playmaker-type player, and then have a different option up front to Joe Linton, because I cannot see how you will ever achieve anything with Joe Linton up front. In goal, Dean Henderson or Bernd Leno.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Okay. Right. So that's the tick. Defensive signings. Okay. I think you either go for Rob Holding, because I think they could get him and I think he's better than what they've got. Neco Williams, I think, is an option for them as well. Defensively, I think in midfield, I think you try and get Don. Oh, do you know who another option might be for them defensively? Diogo Dalot from United. He had a great season at AC Milan last year. He's done nothing in doing nothing at United. In midfield, I think Donny van de Beek on a 6-month loan is a good deal for everybody concerned. Even if it's no option to buy, it's still a great deal for everybody. If you can't get him, I think you try Ross Barkley. Chance your arm at a Ross Barkley.
I can see that happening.
Up front, I think that you go for one of Divock Origi or Andre Lacazette or Alexander Lacazette.
Who's Andre? Andre Lacazette
is his brother.
He's like George Weah's cousin, is he?
Or Andre Agassi. Or Andre the Sea Lion.
Or Andre 3000.
Andre the Giant. Alexander Lacazette, I think. Lacazette or Origi up front are decent options for both. I don't think you need much up front, though.
I know, as I was saying, I think it's...
I don't think you need much. I just think that if you've got a strike force of Lacazette and Callum Wilson, that's a far better chance of you getting goals than if it's Joe Linton and Callum Wilson. Unless you go for Aaron Ramsey and that level of player. And you try something different. Like, genuinely now, if you're Newcastle United, if I was Eddie Howe, I'd be like, I would rather Kiefer Moore be playing up front than Joe Linton.
Oh, no doubt. Kiefer would do a better job. He'd get more goals. Like, if you think of the way that Callum Wilson gets his goals for Newcastle, it can be very direct, and he can you know, he's in and around the box, isn't he? He's not scoring goals from 25 yards. He's in the box knocking it in. He's sort of getting into that those danger areas like Fox in the box, isn't he? So I think Kiefer Moore, if you're getting into those areas, you know, Wilson's decent in the air. And, you know, he's got good strength, you know, he's knows where the goal is. I think Moore's that style of player, whether you wanted to go for a different type, but it's not worked with Joelinton. I just think he seems to, you know, he get in the team now, not for his goals. It's more for what he contributes for work rate and stuff like that. And there's only so long, I think, you can, you know, you're there for goals.
I'm sick.
I like the plan. I like the plan. I think they're achieved. None of them, you could say that's ridiculous. We're not talking about, you know, yeah, as you said, we're not talking about Kylian Mbappe. I mean, I think of those, I mean, I think potentially Nico Williams is, and obviously this is, you know, there's no, I think he'll stay at Liverpool. I think it will take a bit to, at his age. I think he's still probably at the age where he's young enough to still be kind of learning his trade. And but you never know. Like I said, money talks. But and I think it would be like it would be un Newcastle to go for a player like him. I think it would be un Newcastle. But I like the plan, and it shows you with the midfield in the creative midfielder as well. Like when Shelby plays, and Shelby's one of those blows hot and cold, right? On his day, he can be fantastic. And it
one
shows
of the best
you
passes
like,
of a ball in the Premier League on his day.
One of the best, yeah. But he's such a clown. Like he lets the side down so many times with needless sendings off and decisions. And so it just shows you, like, I think every manager that comes into Newcastle, and we've seen it already with Howe playing him on the weekend, they want him to be, they want to select him because they know what he can do. Like from dead balls, from, like I said, you said his range and his vision and his way to passing is as good as anyone on this day. And it shows you what, if he's purring, what a difference it makes to Newcastle. But he lets them down so many times that it's just that consistency and that professionalism.
Do you know the problem is with Andrew Shelby? Is he's a bell end.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I think it's as simple as that. I think he is a bell end.
That's the issue. I just think it's, you know,
it's just, it is
stupid
as that.
To quote a stupid.
And that's not just you trying to rile up the fans as you do every week. I think this is actually true. I think this is just, he is a bell end. Yeah.
He's a bit of a bell end.
So they need someone who plays a bit more responsibly. And
on a live Newcastle
that,
update as we talk. John, a go live intro, drop some breaking news in.
They were down to 10 men against Norwich very early on in the game. What's
they were.
The latest?
They've now got a goal.
Have they?
To go with their red card. Callum Wilson has slotted home a penalty.
That's no good for the fantasy for me.
No, that's no good for my fantasy football. That means that both you and I have lost clean sheets coming off our bench, potentially. Hopefully, we won't need them, but we're now in the position where we're like, Christ.
Yeah, never mind. See, Wilson's a talisman for them.
He's an interesting. He's just too expensive for fantasy football.
He is. He's in that price bracket that you're... He's just too much to really... Yeah, you have to...
If he was Ivan Toney level, if he was 6.5, I'd be all over Callum Wilson.
It's still a good option. I'm not saying I won't go there, but
anyway. I would be trying to cling hold of Callum Wilson if he was 6.5 more than Madonna's trying to cling to her youth and, well, importance to the world and cultural significance.
Relevance.
Yeah, she's just, you know, that's I'd be clinging on. But he's 7.4 million, Callum Wilson. It's too much.
It is, because he's suddenly like, you know, if you go for an expensive striker and a not so expensive striker, he is just out of that. He's out of that bracket, I think, of not expensive striker. He is, I wouldn't say he's expensive, but he's in that middle range of striker. So if you're like big price, little price forward line, It doesn't work because he's just out of that, I think, at 7.4.
Not when anyway, you've got Sam Maximan at 6.9.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, all right, that's all right. That Newcastle. That's Newcastle plan. I think that's acceptable.
Yeah.
It's realistic. We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, how they're big couple of games, this one and the one they've got, is it Burnley they've got at home next? It's a big couple of games.
Yeah, they've got a decent. They've got Newcastle, do you want to know? They've got Burnley at home. Then it gets a little bit trickier. They've got Leicester away, Liverpool away, Man City at home, United at home.
And that's why it's a hard run, really. But that's why these two fixtures. Got to beat Norwich.
Got to beat Norwich and then got to beat Burnley. Because you're on 6 points. You're going in against Liverpool and Man City, knowing that you're probably not going to get anything. But if you can keep the momentum going right now, if you're Newcastle, you go for that. You go like, right, we're going to have a rough 2 weeks, but then we've got Man United. And have a go at them. Because you never know with Man United right
and
now.
And I think they will, with house sides, will have a go. They will. But so that's sort of segues nicely onto fixtures, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So we're obviously recording this whilst the games are going on. But as is the
games
world,
will be going on all the time. Like, you could be in a field in Rotherham.
Yeah.
Or you could be on a hill with in Paul Somerset. Chuckle. Yeah. You could be in Portishead delivering chocolate yuzus to the community. And there could be a game going on.
You could be in Inverness with your nan arguing with a vendor over crab's legs.
You could be, where's one for the Australians? You could be in, where shall I pick? You could be in Greenpoint pointing at a community centre.
Yeah.
And to be fair, probably in actuality, a game might not be going on if you're doing that in Greenpoint because the times the games are on in Australia. But there might be, and there's a chance.
Yeah.
There's a small chance. There's lots of games.
Marseille, angrily using this internationally recognised symbol for wanker with your hand. A 43-year-old man called Fred, who's lost his patience because his Renault Clio keeps breaking down.
Did you say a 3-year-old man?
53-year-old man.
Oh, 53. As I said, a 3-year-old man with a Clio.
No, 53-year-old man angrily getting more and more angry at his Renault Clio because he keeps breaking down with his wife, Siobhan.
Yeah. All right. His Irish wife, yeah. So lots of fixtures coming at us at the moment. Is this where the big guns kind of, is this where the haves and the have-nots become more evident? Because there's a lot of games. There's like six lots of, or five lots of fixtures between now and like Christmas in there. There's something crazy.
There's a stupid amount of fixtures coming out now. Like, there's ludicrous amounts.
Set your alarms, folks.
I know, it's just, it never ends. It's just,
it's great, football, this football, is the football. Time what we want, isn't it? This is like this is what we live and breathe for. Not just in, you know, fantasy football's going off. If you, you know, a fan of football in general, rather than just watching your club, it's a proverbial feast, isn't it?
Yeah, when you actually break it down, you go, right, there's a game midweek now, then there's a game on the Saturday, then it's a full week, but then there's a game midweek, then there's a game on the weekend, then it's a weekend after that, then there's another midweek game, and then it's again on the weekend. So you've got, I'll throw you the dates, okay? So November 30th / December 1st, which is as in when we're recording. Saturday the 11th, Thursday the 16th, Sunday the 19th, Sunday the 26th, Wednesday the 29th, Sunday the 2nd. Like, that's a lot of games. This is where, speaking as a Man United fan, in theory, this is where we should be able to mix things up a bit and, you know, sort of take advantage of tired squads, because there are certain squads like Leeds, for example. Leeds United have got a thinner squad than Man United. So we can now, this is the bit where we can now afford to play Van de Beek and Lingard and, you know, Diogo Dalo and these sort of, and Cavani, and take advantage of this squad with Martial, Rash, you know, there's so many players. Get a bit of rotation going. You know, it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of weeks.
And this is where you have those periods in the season where, like, you sometimes have those players that break out, and, you know, you might have people that go on runs, and those players that are streaky can, you know, hit their stride a little bit. And you're, because we've had a lot of international breaks, it does get stop-starty at this, you know, in that kind of early start of the season. And so you can have people that come in that suddenly, you know, they come in and they take their chance. So the dynamic and the setup of sides, it can change. You know, we've got a lot of new managers now on board too. So it's going to be really interesting to see how, you know, as always, how they set up and how their squads look as we start to see them over, when they've had time on the training ground with them, when they've seen them in games and they started to get their feel for their best 11 or who their kind of first choice is, and then who the ones that could be there or thereabouts. And so you might see the makeup of the squads change. But it's good. It's a really good time, but I think it will test those teams like Leeds. It will test the Newcastles that we talked about, and some of the promoted sides as well. In terms of the league table as well, we'll start to get a real feel, I think, for how things are shaping up. Because at the moment, like, you know, a couple of wins for Watford and Norwich over the last few weeks, and suddenly they're shooting out of the relegation zone. So I think we'll maybe start to see that table take shape, and we'll start to see who's going to be, you know, who's going to probably going to be down there and sort of stuck there. There's always teams that get dragged in, but we're going to really know for sure the sides that are going to be, we could probably predict it, let's be honest, but we're going to know, you know, with evidence who the sides that are down there are going to be. And we'll start to, I think, see those. Because even at the top now, you know, a couple of wins like Tottenham, who've been struggling, they're actually, you know, in Arsenal, they've shot up still from a couple of results in recent weeks. But I think we'll start to see that sort of four or five kind of break away from the pack a little bit as well over the next 5-6 weeks. Five or six games over the next three weeks. So it's going to be class.
It's going to be, look, one thing though, this is where teams can make up seemingly already lost ground very quickly. When you consider that right now, and regardless of who's played fixtures or whatever, just the fact that there's a lot of fixtures coming at you, Southampton are currently, as we record, 15th with 14 points. Which is only 6 points behind Wolves in sixth.
Yeah, it's
six
crazy.
Points separate sixth from 15th. It only takes one team to go on a bit of a run. Like, do you know what I think will benefit the most from this time? Again, one, because of their recent form, and two, because they've got a very good squad, is Aston Villa. I think Aston Villa
it's
now...
It's a good time to go on a good run with a bit of confidence.
Oh, no,
and if you're
going
to get
need.
New manager bounce, now's the time to get it when you're playing this many games in short space of time.
Yeah, no, this is exactly when you want to hit some form, you know?
It's good. It's a good point. They've had two good wins under Gerrard so far. Actually. They're both impressive.
Good form. And when you consider with Villa, let's have a goosey ganders at something, yeah? When they beat Palace on the weekend, their bench, or their unused players, okay? Unused players.
Got it.
Morgan Sanson, Axel Tuanzebe, Danny Ings, Courtney House. But they also brought off the bench Douglas Luiz, Buendia and El Ghazi. These players came on. You know, you've got players. They've got a very, very, very decent squad. At Aston Villa, with good players on the bench. I think they could take advantage.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, yeah. And all of those players have at some point been, well, most of them have been, exception maybe a couple, have been regulars for them at periods over the last few years.
Yeah, decent.
I think they can do well. No, I think now just sort of sit back and enjoy the football. It's you know, now's the time. Soak it in, enjoy it. This is the what we live and breathe for. So no, nothing else from me. It's been good. It's been fun.
It has been good. It has been fun.
Yeah. You sound surprised.
Yeah, no, it has. It has been good.
Yeah,
you say it. Yeah, it's actually been all right. Like, way better than I thought it was going to be.
You thought it was just going to be fine, like 199.
Do you know who else I go for? Let's go back to my Newcastle plan. Two players that I
late
might
bid.
Go
this
for.
Is a late transfer bid now.
It's a late transfer bid. It's just me rushing into the office at 10 o'clock at night on deadline day going, have we thought about these? Davinson Sanchez.
Yeah.
Dele Alli.
Oh, you could, yeah. Again, you're selecting players I could see going. We should just see we should play this back because I think you might get at least one of those.
I'm going to write these down. I'm going to go. We're going to press stop record. I'm going to thank the listeners.
Yeah, I reckon thank before you. We finish up this week, right, at a touchline rant on socials, give us your Newcastle bingo card. I want to see, give us five players that you think that Newcastle, not that you would sign, well, yeah, I guess who you would sign, but who are realistic. So I don't want to see flipping Kylian Mbappe on there and Neymar and all that shit. None of that bollocks, because let's live in the real world. I want to see five names that you think that, and because there's a test of prediction now, of who you think that would be realistic good signings that they... that you think they might make. So there's kind of a few things there. So you have to keep it, yeah. You won't score any points for just going completely wild. But yeah, let's see who you reckon, and let's see if anyone hits any accurate guesses.
Yeah, nice. We'll make our list. You make your lists.
I'll make my list and we'll revisit it. Maybe we'll do a little revisit in the January transfer window.
Yeah, January transfer window closes, we'll revisit, see if we've got any. If we need to, we'll extend it to the summer.
Yeah, good shout.
We'll readdress on the first podcast of February, which will be February the 1st.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
All right, then.
Sounds good. We'll see you before then. But
yeah, don't wait until then. Yeah. Don't wait until there are going to
be other shows. Don't write into us and say, oh, where's when? Being quite bloody clear, February the 1st. So don't
Exactly.
Don't be writing.
Don't wait till February the 1st to tune in because there's a lot of football.
There's going to be a lot of football between that. Just Tuesdays.
The podcast you have just listened to is brought to you by Anchor. This is the only place to get all your podcasting needs. If you want a warm, fuzzy podcast from all them people, then you ought to listen to the podcast via Anchor. It's the only place to get all that podcast juiciness and stuff. Thank you, y'all.